A number of years ago, I heard a story about a ship that was on a voyage. I believe it was coming from one of the European countries to then a young United States of America. At that period of time, it was rather difficult to find entertainment for the number of people who were passengers on that boat. But in order to provide some type of entertainment, usually they would gather in some large gathering part of the ship, and someone would give a presentation. It may have been a recital of piano or some other instrument. It may have been a speech that was delivered by some. Or it may have been someone that was a passenger asked to recite something. And in this particular case, there was an actor on board, and those that were in charge asked him to recite the 23rd Psalm. He did so in a wonderful way, as orators can do. When he had finished, there was a great amount of applause for him, for the performance that he had done. But there was somebody else on that ship, an aged preacher, and they asked him to do the same thing, recite the 23rd Psalm. He graciously decided that he would. When he had finished, no applause. But I can tell you this, there were tears shed by many of the people who were emotionally stirred by the way that he presented the 23rd Psalm. I ask you to consider, what made the difference in those two? It's very simple. The actor knew the psalm, but the preacher knew the psalmist. He knew the shepherd. That's what made the difference. The 23rd Psalm is one of the most well-known of all Bible passages, placed in many very prominent places where people go and have opportunity to read it. Many songs have been written based upon something that is in that psalm. And there are some songs that have taken the words and put them to music just as they are. And if you go to a funeral, the chances are that the paper that is provided for the family and for the people who come will tell some information about the deceased person. And then some space will be given to the 23rd Psalm. That was the case with Bill Hall's wife's funeral just the other day. I tell you, we need to know that good shepherd that this psalm is about. A psalm that says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Bible has a whole lot to say about shepherds. God is referred to as a shepherd. He himself referred to David as a shepherd. Jesus Christ is declared to be our good shepherd. And provisions are made in the organization of local congregations for there to be a plurality of shepherds who have the oversight of the flock of God. But that's not what our sermon is about. Our lesson today has to do with things that the good shepherd provides for his sheep. I believe that there are four things that are very prominently mentioned in this psalm that belong in that category. And that's what I want to talk to you about for a few moments. The first of these is that the good shepherd provides care for his flock, for his sheep. In the psalm, the expression, "I shall not want," indicates the care of the good shepherd. It indicates it in a very real sense. Lacking nothing is the idea, whether it be temporal or spiritual. Our good shepherd provides our care for us. In Psalms 34 and verse 9, the psalmist said, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." And of course, the apostle Paul, by inspiration, penned the letter to the Philippians and said, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The green pastures, the still waters, indicate care by the good shepherd. In a place of peace and repose, Jesus promised provisions for his faithful followers. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 25 to 33, where he talks about the birds of the air and the flowers in the field, God is the one who arrayed them and cared for them in that way. And if you and I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all of these things will be added unto us. The conclusion of that passage says, the good shepherd brings the sheep back when they go astray. In Matthew 18, beginning at verse 12, the Bible says, "What do you think?" This is Jesus speaking. "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99, go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if it should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." The good shepherd is concerned about his sheep. One of the parables in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke is about sheep and shepherd. The question is put, first of all, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after the one which is lost until he comes, finds it? When he has found it, what does he do with it when he finds it? He lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Happy that he has found a sheep, and he's going to do something about caring for him. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." One thing I learned about sheep when I was studying for this lesson some while back was the fact that sheep without a shepherd scatter and wander. Jesus said so. Mark, the 6th chapter, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, began to teach them many things. They didn't have a shepherd, they wandered about. There is an entire chapter in the Old Testament that is devoted to many woes to the shepherds who were more concerned about themselves than they were about the sheep. Ezekiel chapter 34. A second thing that the good shepherd provides for his sheep is protection. "Thou art with me," the psalmist said. That removes fear because the good shepherd provides protection. He provides protection in difficult times as well as in good times. One use the shepherd made of his rod and staff was protection against other animals that would destroy his sheep. I think we can get a good lesson from David on this. The life that he lived, there was a time when the Philistines and the Israelites were fighting one another constantly. And among the Philistines, there was a giant about 9 feet tall. Great big fellow. Issued a challenge to the Israelites. "Choose one of your men. Send him out, and I'll fight with him. If he wins, we'll serve you. But if I win, you'll serve us." It was difficult to find anybody who was going to accept that challenge. Even the older brothers of David didn't want to accept it. Nobody wanted to challenge that huge giant until David learned about the matter. And he said, "I'll take him on." But he was scorned by others. Unfit for that. "Why do you offer such a challenge as this?" So he goes to the king by the name of Saul. And he says to him, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and came a lion and a bear, took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him." Listen to that. "And smote him and delivered it out of his mouth." Now, what did he do when the bear or the lion, whichever it was at this point, rose up against him? Here's what he said. "I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him." He didn't run. He accepted the challenge. And when this bear and this lion took one of his sheep, he went after the sheep. He was that concerned about protecting his sheep. "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David had God on his side, and he knew that. Shepherds in local churches should provide that kind of protection for their sheep. They're taught in the Scriptures to hold fast the faithful word and be able with sound doctrine to convince the gainsayer. The good shepherd, when he goes after his sheep that's gone astray or been attacked by a bear or a lion, provides protection for him, and he takes him where he will be protected by others. You know what he does? He returns him to the fold. Why did he want to take him back to the fold? I can tell you 8 good reasons why a good shepherd, when he finds his sheep that is lost, would want to bring him back to the fold. And they are, first of all, there's companionship there. You and I, as brethren, have companionship one with another in our company, in the fold of which we are a part. There's also joint participation. Are you participating in this worship? Do you participate in the work that this church is involved in? Then you are being protected by all who are thus participating. And oh, how we need encouragement. And that's where you can get it, in the fold. There's involvement. Get involved. You sheep, are you involved in the activities of this local church? If not, it's high time that you get involved, because that's important for your protection. There's the feeling of belonging. Did you ever get the feeling in a group of people, well, I just don't fit here? In a local congregation, a person can get that thought. If he is snubbed by some, if he is not allowed to participate in certain activities simply because they just don't want him in their company, but you get them involved and watch them grow. And you, as an individual who gets others involved, will grow as well. There's comfort in the fold. How comforting it is to know that others care about your concern and want to protect you. Sheep feels a whole lot safer when he's with other sheep than he does when he gets alone, separated from the fold. And those sheep that go astray or are taken by bears and wolves and need some healing. A child of God who is overtaken in a fault, who succumbs to some false teaching, and the shepherds protect him by bringing him into the fold, gets the healing that he needs. And we all need that. Mike read from 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. Shepherds in local churches have the responsibility of protecting their sheep. The Apostle Paul met with the elders of the church of Ephesus on the island of Miletus. And among the things that he said to them was this: take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed or to tend the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. They're still coming. And they still will make their appearance. Be sure of that and be aware of it. He said further, also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Friends and brethren, we need to be warned about the effectiveness of false teachers. Consider what David did. He killed a bear and a lion that took one of his flock. If he was not afraid to face a bear and a lion, why should he be afraid to face up to Goliath? Why did he do that? To protect his sheep. That's why he did it. Why would you, as a good shepherd, intervene when some false teacher comes to one of the flock and begins to teach him false doctrine and he doesn't know how to answer him? Would you protect him? By telling that false teacher, let him go. And telling that sheep, you need to grow. Let me help you. False teachers come in different ways. They don't just make their appearance in a public place where the church is assembled. They go door to door. They have television programs. They put messages on the internet. They have group meetings in homes as well as other places. Bible classes and pulpits and meeting houses is not the only place they go. Good shepherds protect their sheep from such. How far will shepherds in local churches today go to protect their sheep? When Jesus contrasted the good shepherd with the false, he called them thieves and said, they come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But why did he come? That they might have life. That's why Jesus came. That's why good shepherds want to protect their sheep. A third thing that the good shepherds provide for their sheep is leadership. He leads me beside still waters. Implies a place of peace with God reserved for the saved. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 talks about the peace of God that passes all understanding. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 14 and following, talks about Christ as the Prince of Peace and is our peace. The Good Shepherd doesn't lead his sheep in paths that lead to uncertainty, anxiety, worry. Rather, he leads his sheep in the way to himself, lest they turn aside. He leads them in the way by which they become righteous. The way of righteousness. That's the way that leads to heaven. Good shepherds lead, not by just saying only, but by example, as 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3 says. Then finally, the fourth thing that the good shepherd does provide for his sheep is salvation. You and I can't provide the salvation by offering ourselves as Jesus could and did. But there is something that we can do to lead lost souls to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I found at least three statements in the 23rd Psalm that could have reference to salvation of the soul. He restoreth my soul is one of them. Verse 3. He anoints my head with oil. Some of the religious things that people did involved putting oil. Jesus talked about that in Matthew the 6th chapter, verse 17. Then surely goodness and mercy, you'll follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That points to the future. David was concerned about pleasing his shepherd, God Almighty. God provided salvation by sending His Son into the world, that the world through Him might be saved. To have Christ as your good shepherd, you must care, who will care for us, who will protect us, who will lead us and save us. We must give heed to what He says to enjoy that salvation. This we'll do if we're truly His sheep. For His sheep hear His voice, and they know Him, and He knows them. Sheep don't listen to one that is not a good shepherd, if they're truly the sheep that belong to the Lord. Shepherds that are good shepherds don't teach their flock error, but teach them the truth. Is Christ your good shepherd? He wants to be. It's up to you to decide whether or not He will be. If you believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, are willing to repent of your sins, confess the faith that you have in your heart, and let someone baptize you by burying you in water for the remission of your sins, He will be your good shepherd. If you will look to Him, follow Him, He will lead you to everlasting life.